Welcome and thank you for joining us. We're grateful that you're tuning in again, I guess is the word, watching along as we try the best we can to worship and share with one another during this time when we can't all be together. So this is our second week to do an online version of worship here at Broadway Covenant Church. And I'll be sharing with you a sermon in a little bit, and we'll be praying together. But we're grateful that you're watching, and I hope this helps you to continue in some ways to worship and to be connected with the church. I hope that even as you're at home, that you do continue to worship and pray, and also to reach out to our church family, to neighbors, to friends, whether it's through the phone or email or whatever you can do to stay in touch with people. Also want to encourage folks who are active in our church to reach out to me or to the church office if you have any prayer needs. We've asked our care facilitators to be in contact with people, and so as issues come up, and it doesn't have to be, you know, anything related to the coronavirus. It can just be with what's going on in your life. But we want to stay in touch, and we want to be able to pray for one another. So we appreciate you sharing those concerns with us, and we'll do the best we can to stay in touch. I also want to let you know that the church building, as you can tell, is open. The office is open Monday through Thursday. I'm around. Sue's been around. And so if you are just looking for a place, even if you need to be alone, but if you want to come and pray in the sanctuary, if you just need to get out of the house, as long as we're still allowed to do that, we won't gather in groups, but you're certainly welcome to come and enter the church building and just be here and enjoy the quiet of this place. It has been quiet around here, but I guess that's understandable. But you're certainly welcome. Members of the church, those who are active at Broadway, we're certainly always, the doors are open for you. So we're going to begin our time together today. This, by the way, would be the worship service for March 22nd. And you might be watching this a couple days ahead of time or a couple days after the 22nd, but this is what we've had planned for a while now for worship today. And so we're going to begin with a scripture reading. This is Psalm 20, which is a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now know this, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. God's word brings us comfort and assurance, and we have this promise that the Lord does answer when we are in distress, and so we trust in him today. It would be traditional at this point in worship for me to invite you to bring your offerings to the Lord, and I just want to say thank you to those who have been mailing in or even dropping off your donations to continue to support the church, and we do appreciate that, to continue to remember the ministry of our church as we go along, even though we're not together. Ministry as best we can is continuing, and so we're grateful for the gifts that you're giving to the church. It's Jesus who said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, and I hope that you will continue to feel the blessing of being able to support our ministry and knowing that what you give is enabling us to continue, but also enabling us to support missionaries and other ministries here in Rockford that we are able to support through the church budget. So thank you for that. And now I want to lead us in a word of prayer. And again, if you're watching or following along at home, you can also pray and lift up your own needs. But let's all join together as we go before the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we give you thanks today for the many ways that you provide for us. And Lord, even during this time of maybe anxiety or worry for many people, when our usual ways of life are not the way we'd like them to be, Lord, we thank you for the assurance that you're with us, for the comfort that we find in feeling your presence around us. We thank you also, Lord, for church family, for neighbors and friends and those who are close to us who maybe we can't be in the same room together, but we can pray for each other. We can call and check in with one another. And we thank you for the ways that our church has been reaching out and being a support to one another. Father, we also ask today for your protection over us. I pray for those who are feeling anxious about illness or even the other ordinary issues of our lives, Lord. Watch over us, bless us, and protect us. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a sense of hope. Father, we ask that for our community as well and for our nation, that people would not be driven by fear or anxiety, but that we would find hope in you, and that we would know that through all of this disruption in our lives, that you are still a powerful and gracious God. And so we thank you, Lord, for that assurance and for the presence of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, I pray for those who are in need of healing today, whether it be from the coronavirus or whether it be other disease or injury or just the ordinary illnesses that people experience. Lord, help us to look to you for our healing strength. I pray for comfort and peace and wisdom. I pray, Lord, that each one who is watching this video, for all those who are part of our church family, would feel your grace in their lives today. Father, we also pray for health experts and doctors and government leaders and all those who are working hard to help our community and our nation overcome this virus. We pray that you'd give wisdom, that you would give strength and skill. And Lord, we pray that in your mighty power, as you are able, we know that you are able to eradicate this disease, to heal those who are ill, and to protect those who haven't yet been exposed. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for hearing us as we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you watch over us. And I pray now, Lord, that you would help us as we open up your word, help us to find the truth that you have for us. Pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak through your Holy Spirit into each of our lives. We ask all these things in the powerful and healing name of Jesus. Amen. So as we move on now to God's Word spoken to us, we're continuing in Mark's Gospel. And before I read the passage, as I always do, kind of introducing a sermon, I want to share a little bit of a story. This one actually comes from my very first year of ministry. 20 years ago, as we were serving in Lansing, Michigan, it was actually in my... I'd only been in the church for a few weeks and went to the hospital to visit a couple who had just had a baby. It might have even, if I remember right, it was the very first kind of official hospital visit that I went on as a new pastor. And this couple had just had a child, a little girl who was born 3 months premature in neonatal units. It was my first time in that part of the hospital for sure. Neonatal units are amazing places. These tiny little babies that can fit just even in one hand, if not in two hands. Doctors and nurses that do amazing work to care for these little children. This little baby was in an incubator, I guess it's called, with thread-like tubes connected to her body and then out to the medical devices and computers that were there helping to keep her alive. And what's remarkable about that situation is, of course, inside a mother's womb, God knits babies together and they're perfectly safe and warm and cared for, and they have all that they need. But then when that child is born premature, it takes all of our medical technology, all the amazing things that we can do, but constant supervision from doctors and nurses, and they need all of that just to keep that little baby alive. So this little girl survived her first several days without a problem, but then the doctor told her parents that he had found a problem in her heart, and she would need surgery to repair the issue. So I went to the hospital the day of the surgery, and I sat there with Mom and Dad as the surgeon explained what exactly he would do. He said the procedure would take about an hour, and he showed on a diagram what exactly he would be trying to accomplish. And then as he was leaving the room to perform the surgery, he said to the parents, I just want you to know that this surgery either goes very well or very bad. And they knew exactly what he meant. So we prayed, and we waited, and we prayed, and we stared at the walls, and we prayed, and time seemed to stand still, as you can imagine. But it was just about an hour later when the doctor finally returned with a smile on his face and said everything had gone fine, she would be okay, and that little baby today is a healthy, smart, happy 19-year-old. One of the great privileges of being a pastor is to be with people during the most profound moments of their lives, whether it's at the birth of a child or in the hospital room when someone is nearing death or at a funeral home or with a couple on their wedding day or any of those special moments or hard moments in our lives. And it's a privilege to be there. Not just because those are important moments in someone's life, but it's a privilege to be able to pray, to watch, maybe to mourn with, to rejoice with. In those moments, though, God shows up. And His presence and His peace is unmistakable. After Jesus shared a final meal with His disciples in the upper room, which is the story we read last week, Jesus led them out to a garden where he could pray. And he knew that his betrayer, who had just left their company, was coming back. He knew the cross loomed. And it was one of those profound moments in Jesus' life when he needed people, when he needed his friends to be with him. So listen to what happens. This is Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." The disciples let Jesus down. Not just in that moment, but in many times, many ways on his walk to the cross. They were confused about his mission. They didn't understand that he needed to die or why he needed to die. Peter would deny knowing him 3 times. Of course, one of the 12 would betray him. And then here in the garden, his closest friends were too sleepy to keep watch with him. Jesus didn't need much from them that night. He just wanted them to keep watch, sit with me, stay with me, pray with me. He needed his friends to be near. He needed them to be for him in that moment what he had so often been for them, which was just to be present with them. He didn't want to be alone that night. Now, there's a lot happening in the story, and we, of course, know where the story is leading, and the end kind of foreshadows that Judas is headed back and Jesus will be arrested. And the story there in the garden is full of suspense and spiritual weight. And Jesus, though fully God, shows his humanness here as he prays and pleads with God that this cup would be taken away, that he wouldn't have to endure what he's about to endure. There's even a bit of fear and struggle in Jesus in those moments because as a man, as a person, he's not wanting to go through what he has to go through, and yet he submits himself fully to God's will. What I want us to notice in this story, and I think this really speaks into the situation that we are all going through today, I want us to notice the idea of presence and prayer. What does it mean to keep watch with someone? How can we sit with someone through a moment of sorrow or fear or illness or uncertainty or even just a moment of waiting, not knowing what's going to come next? How can we embody the love and peace of God in the life of someone who's going through difficulty? Of course, we're now living, all of us, through a difficult and anxious moment. Our society is shutting down. Everybody's staying home. Schools are closed. Churches are closed. There are no public gatherings. And to be honest, I really struggle with this situation. As a pastor, as someone who wants to be with our church family, I understand the concerns for public health. We want to help contain and slow the spread of the virus, and I understand why we're doing what we're doing. But at the same time, we believe in the importance of gathering as a church body. We believe in the value of corporate worship. We believe in the power of God's word preached and God's people listening and responding to that word. And then we also believe in the importance of watching and praying with those in need. And so I guess sometimes that has to happen from a distance. Sometimes we can do those things, but they've got to be done over the internet or with a phone call. Now, I hope that soon we can all return to our usual routines, and as soon as we can, we will gather again as a whole church and we'll worship together and pray together, and I hope that that will be very soon from now. But for now, here's the good news that we find in this story and the first lesson that we come upon here, and that is that Jesus sends his church to keep watch with you through hard times. Jesus sends his church to keep watch when we're going through difficulty. The theological word that tells us about Jesus coming to the earth, taking on human flesh, being born among us, the theological word is incarnation. Jesus took on our flesh. He became physically present with us, which is a powerful truth that God himself could be born and then walk around like us in a body like we have. Of course, we aren't like God, but in some spiritually deep way, the presence of the church, the presence of believers, reflects the incarnation, that we can become the body of Christ. And that's an important way to understand what it means to be the body of Christ, to be the incarnation of Jesus in one another's lives, to be as Jesus to those who are suffering or mourning. We become the presence of Jesus. We bring His love and His comfort to those in need. Now that night in the garden, the disciples found it hard to keep watch with Jesus. They were tired. They were distracted. Maybe they didn't understand why that night mattered so much, despite the meal that Jesus had just shared with them and the teaching that He had been giving them. And Jesus had been quite clear about what was coming, but somehow they didn't quite understand. And for whatever reason, they fell asleep. And they left Jesus all alone in His sorrow and in His fear. So where the disciples failed, we need to step up. We need to learn to recognize the needs around us. We need to step up to the calling of keeping watch, of bringing Jesus' presence into the lives of those who are hurting. Listen to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So just as we have been comforted, just as we have received the love of God and the care of others in our lives, now we can turn and care for others. Now we can be that source of comfort and strength and encouragement. Now we can bring that ministry of presence into the lives of those in need around us. So let's make this a little bit more personal. Who is God calling you to keep watch with? Who in your life needs the presence of God? Who can you bless with your love and your prayers? We can't sit with Jesus in the garden. He's not on the earth in a bodily form anymore. But we can reach out to the people around us, our friends, our family members, our neighbors, our church family. Who's hurting? Who's grieving? Who needs comfort? Now, I understand that physical presence with one another is not going to be possible in the next few weeks. It may not be safe for you to go out to see someone else or for them to have you enter into their home, and we need to be smart about that. But we still have phones. We still have email. We still have other forms of technology. And for a short time, we may need to reach out from a distance. We may need to stay in touch with people without actually touching people, but we can still stay in touch. What Jesus needed in the garden was the presence of His friends. He needed to know that He wasn't alone in His sorrow. And that's what we've been called to offer to others. We can't carry other people's burdens just as the disciples couldn't carry Jesus' burden. They couldn't take away His suffering. They couldn't prevent Him from going to the cross. But He did need them to offer comfort and prayer. And that's what we can do for one another. Every time I walk into a hospital room or visit with a family member that's mourning the loss of a loved one, I wish that I could just take their hurt away. Right? I'm sure we'd all feel that. I wish I could heal the disease or could give them more time with their loved one. But that's not my role. That's not my calling. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a surgeon. But my role in those moments is to be the presence of God to those in need, to keep watch, to listen, to pray with faith that that prayer makes a difference. That when we pray for someone, somehow in the work of the Holy Spirit, that prayer unleashes God's power that can bring comfort, that can bring even healing. And we need to understand that I'm not the only one in the church with that calling, that each one of us can pray in Jesus' name. Each of us have the Spirit living in us and can bring the presence of God to someone else. Each of us is a part of the body of Christ. Each of us can reach out and touch those in need. And so now, maybe more than ever, we need each other. And it might be from a distance, it might be over the phone or the internet, but we need to stay in touch. We need to care for one another. We need to pray and watch with one another. Now, if we take the story of Jesus in the garden and the disciples there sleeping when they should have been praying, if we take the story and sort of turn it inside out, I think we find some more good news. And that is this assurance that Jesus keeps watch over you during your dark nights. We will never have the opportunity the disciples did to be there in the garden to keep watch with Jesus. I'm sure we all think if we were there, you know, with Peter and James and John, we would have stayed awake. We would have been with Jesus praying, and hopefully we would have been, but we won't get that opportunity. Instead, it's Jesus who brings us comfort. It's Jesus who assures us that He is watching over us as we go through those moments of fear or sorrow or illness or uncertainty. People often wonder, where is Jesus now? He's not walking around on the earth anymore. What's Jesus doing right now? Doesn't He see what's happening in our world? Isn't He aware of our needs? What is Jesus doing right now? Well, Romans chapter 8 gives us an answer to that question. Romans chapter 8 verse 34 says this: Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus is praying for you. He is interceding on your behalf. Jesus' Spirit keeps watch over you. He sits prayerfully at your side through those dark moments. He's there with you through moments of joy, through moments of sorrow, through the good moments, through the hard moments of life. And so even though we aren't together as a church family today, Jesus is sitting with you. Jesus is keeping watch over each one of us, wherever we are today. He's watching over our families, and He's praying for us. He is interceding on our behalf. We live in a broken world. Our world is full of hurting people. Today, our world is full of anxious people. And we need to have the assurance that Jesus went to the cross so that the brokenness could be restored, so that the darkness could be scattered and done away with by the light of God, and so that the sorrow of our lives could be turned into joy. And we who walk in the light, we who live with the joy of knowing Jesus, we are called to bring Jesus' compassion to those in need. So I hope that you will listen to the Holy Spirit today and in the coming days. And I hope as you listen, you will hear the Spirit speaking into your heart and answering the question, who can you reach out to? Who needs the comfort that you can offer? Who needs some encouragement today? Who needs the hope of Jesus? Who needs you to keep watch and pray? So let me pray for you right now. Father in heaven, we thank you for the assurance that you're always with us, that Jesus is at your right hand, interceding for us, praying over us, that your Holy Spirit lives within us, that we are never alone, that we're never cut off from you. Lord, I thank you also for the church body, that even when we can't be together physically, we are still with one another. We can still reach out to one another and love each other through this time. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us those opportunities, that you would place on each of our hearts those people in need, whether it's through a phone call or an email, or maybe there will be opportunity soon to be together again. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us those times when we can reach out and encourage one another, pray for one another. And Lord, I pray that each one in our church would be aware of your presence and of the prayers of their brothers and sisters in the church, and that none of us would feel alone or cut off, but that we would know your love and your grace is always present with us. So Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this opportunity to be together even through this use of technology. We thank you for your word that encourages us. And I pray your blessing and your peace to be with each one in our church family today. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Peace and grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.